Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Big Screen Breakdown. We're just after Halloween. However, we have a trailer for the sequel to Halloween 2018 called Halloween Kills, Insidious Chapter 5 is coming out. Michael B. Jordan's going to direct the new Creed movie, and Michael Bay is making a movie that I don't think anybody's going to want to see. All that, plus a new segment I'm going to call Mikey's Mandalorian Minute. Okay, so jumping straight into the news, we have a new trailer for Halloween Kills, which is the sequel to the movie called Halloween that came out in 2018, which is a sequel to the movie called Halloween, which came out in 1978. But it takes place right after the first one and not the other like 17 Halloween movies. It doesn't matter. The new line goes Halloween, Halloween, and then Halloween Kills. The new movie's coming out in 2021. It was supposed to come out this year, but just like everything else, it got pushed back due to COVID. Same people that are that did Halloween 2018 are doing this one. It's going to be taking place on the same night as the last, so it's continuing, kind of like what Halloween 2. This is so confusing to talk about these stupid Halloween movies, because Halloween 2 that came out in the 80s, but It took place on the same night as the... It doesn't matter. So this movie takes place on the same night, meaning we get to see direct ramifications of the first movie. That's what it looks like it's going with. It looks like it's going to focus on Allison, the younger daughter. If you haven't seen Halloween 2018, I'm going to have to call it. You know, the ending was a little ambiguous to Allison. It made it kind of seem like she was some sort of new evil, or maybe she's just traumatized from what she had to go through. Minor spoilers, I guess, but I guess having to stab a murderous man has an effect on you. Who knew? It looks like another Halloween movie. However, they're saying that it's bigger, badder, meaner, and Jason Blum. These movies are produced by Blumhouse Studios. Jason Blum says that he filmed one of the like goriest and most intense scenes he's ever filmed in this movie. So, I mean, hey, if that's what you're into, I like the Halloween movies. Hopefully, these new ones, like I said, they cancel out all those other ones. So, you know, hopefully they can do something new and they don't get too crazy with it. But either way, fun for me. And sticking with the horror theme, you guys remember those Insidious movies? The first two were really, really good, and then the third one, I don't even remember what happened, and then the fourth one was something about a key and some randomness that's going on there. Well, Insidious 5 is going to be coming out, and the cool thing about this movie is that it's bringing back the cast from the first two movies. That whole family, they're bringing them back. Patrick Wilson, who stars as the dad, he's actually going to be directing a movie. He's been wanting to direct a movie, he says, and this is a project that he's very passionate about. So he's jumping in the directing chair. He's going to be starring in the movie as well. And they're bringing back his son, Ty Simpkins. You guys remember that kid from the first and second movie? Dalton. And then he was also in Iron Man 3. And then do you remember at the end of Avengers Endgame when everybody was like, hey, who the hell is that super tall kid at Tony Stark's funeral? That's the same kid. Kid's all grown up now. It's weird. But, however, he's going to be in the movie. It's going to take place 10 years after the second movie. And according to the report, maybe that little hypnosis that they gave them so they don't walk around in their dreams, maybe that's worn off by this point. And little Ty Simpkins, little Dalton, is in college now, and he's going to have to be dealing with more ghosts and into the further. If you guys know anything about the Insidious movies, I had a lot of fun with those first two at least, so I'm excited. I like Patrick Wilson as an actor. I'm excited to see what he can do as a director. I'm also excited for little Ty Simpkins to be coming back, and I keep saying little Ty Simpkins. I'm pretty sure the kid's over 18 now, but it's crazy to watch child actors grow up, and I'm excited to see if he's still a good actor, because he was a really good little child actor, and now he's a full-grown adult actor, and can he carry along? Will he go crazy? Is he going to turn into one of those celebrities that, you know, snorts cocaine and drives cars through buildings or something like that? I don't know. I hope not, but I'm excited to see him come back. I'm excited to see the whole family come back. Like I said, those first two Insidious movies were really, really good, and not only is the cast coming back, but James Wan, who directed it, he's going to be helping produce it. And the writer, his name is Lee Winnell, he's coming back to help too. So it's kind of like they're getting the whole gang back together to revisit this story after 10 years. So that's exciting. It's not like those movies where they do a movie in the 80s and then they do a sequel. Now, like, it's only been 10 years, so that's not a crazy amount of time. And the fact that, you know, the kids are still acting and obviously the adults are still acting, they can bring the whole cast back. They don't have to recast anything. These are the kind of sequels I like to see. Not when they have to make all these changes because, you know, people have moved on and aren't acting anymore. People have died because they're making a sequel 40 years later. Like, this is the kind of stuff I like to see when it's like, this is how you do a elongated sequel. This is how you do it the right way. 10 years later, good to go. Okay, editor's note. Someone decided to come home right in the middle of me recording.
I'm back.
You made it seem like there's like multiple episodes where you weren't on.
Have I been on all of them?
Oh, well, there was one episode you weren't on. See? Two, maybe.
Inconsistency, but like, I don't like it.
I guess so. How's your day?
It's good.
Good. Wonderful. I'm right in the middle of the news.
Sweet.
So,
I like the news.
I like
not
the news
today's
too.
News, but
yeah, well, like it's a crazy news. World we're living in right now. So, Michael B. Jordan, you know that guy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He's hot.
Yeah, totally.
Not hotter than you.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
You know the Creed movies?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the third movie, it is being reported by Deadline that he is going to be directing as well as starring in the third Creed movie.
Oh, yeah. That's interesting.
I thought it was interesting.
I am a huge fan of Michael B. Jordan. I like his work. I like what he, you know, I feel like he's very of the people type of person.
Ooh.
So that'll be interesting to see him direct.
This would be his directorial debut. Originally, they had a different director tapped on to play, but now Deadline put out a new article about MGM Studios, who produces this movie. Or these movies, and it's said that he's in talks to direct as well as star in the movie, which is exciting to see because I previously talked in the story before you got home about Patrick Wilson, the star of those Insidious movies.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be directing the new, there's going to be a fifth one that's coming out, and he's going to be directing it. So it's cool to see actors kind of get behind the camera. I know there's a lot of actors that have done it and a lot of actors that want to do it, but
okay, I have a random, just like, no knowledge type of question.
Ask away.
Why? What's so beneficial of the actor becoming a director? Like, do they make more money? Like, why is it so important in their career for them to direct?
Honestly, they don't make more money. There's no way that the directors make more money than the actors. I think it's when they truly love the craft. They love movie making, not just acting. And so yeah. They want to be on the other side. They have a vision that they want to put forward. And, you know, you can only imagine, like, imagine if you were only ever guesting on a podcast and you're like, oh, it would be cool to have my own, to do this, to see how it's made and to be a part of that.
Oh, okay. Okay. I get that. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. I think it's just actors wanting to go out there and try something new in their field. And,
right.
You know, a lot of these actors get really, really close with directors, so they learn a lot from them. Like, Michael B. Jordan has been in three of Ryan Coogler's movies. Ryan Coogler's a director, directed Fruitvale Station with Michael B. Jordan. He directed the first Creed movie, and then he also directed Black Panther.
Okay.
All three of those starring Michael B. Jordan. So they have a really close actor-director relationship, so I feel like he's learned a lot from him, and he'd be able to put that in anything that he would be directing. So it's exciting.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
I wonder if it's going to be exactly like the same work that he does, or if he's going to put his own twist on it.
I mean, I would hope that he would put his own twist on it, because otherwise it's like you're just doing a copy-paste job. You know, you have to be able to put a little bit of your own heart and soul into something. Otherwise, why do it?
But is he going to surpass Mr. Miyagi?
The student has become the master.
I know.
Yeah. Nice. So, we'll see. I mean, you know, that movie's not even in production yet. You know, I don't even know if they have a script. They're just saying that, you know, Michael B. Jordan might direct it. So that's cool. It's exciting to hear.
Okay, let's go back to Insidious.
Okay.
Because I wasn't here for that.
You weren't here for that, no.
And I'm excited.
Yes.
I almost cursed.
Yes.
And then I realized we would have to put explicit on our upload.
It's fine. Whatever. We can sneak in
but
a few.
Man, the Insidious movies are probably one of the scariest movies that I have watched.
Yeah.
Like, those are legitimately terrifying. I'm excited for that.
Yeah. I'm very excited for it.
When does it come out?
Probably 2022 at this point.
Okay.
So they just announced that they're going to be having it. Yeah, there's no official release date. But they had like a little online horror convention, I guess, over the weekend. So that's where they released that Halloween Kills trailer, and then they talked about Insidious 5. But they're bringing everybody back from the first two movies to continue that story 10 years later.
Fun. Mm-hmm. It would have been nice if it came out on Halloween or around Halloween.
I would assume that it would. I don't know. It has nothing to do with Halloween, really. But it's just fun to watch scary movies around Halloween. So. All right. So my final bit of news, before we started recording again, I showed you the trailer to this new Michael Bay produced film called Songbird. Anybody out there who hasn't heard of this movie yet, the trailer just got released a couple days ago. I want you to pause the podcast and I want you to pull up YouTube on your phone, your computer, whatever. Type in Songbird trailer and you let me know any way that you can if this movie doesn't just feel like it's hitting a little too close to home.
Well, this is where we're going to disagree.
We can disagree all you want. Let's disagree.
You know, because I like to fight with you every now and then to keep things a little entertaining.
I didn't know now and then meant every other day.
So, I liked it.
Right. I'm not saying I didn't like it. Any other time, place, it'd be like, oh, that's cool.
But I mean, we make movies about wars that have happened before, other types of pandemics.
Right, right.
And like, this is a movie based on real life with the same thing as any other movie, which is exaggeration. So yes, of course, we're living through it now. I get that. But I mean, it's hopefully, oh my God, knock on wood.
Knock on my palm.
Because it'll sound so loud. But, you know, knock on wood, that doesn't actually happen.
I think that's the problem that I have with it. That, like you said, we make movies about wars that have already happened.
Right.
About history.
Right.
We are currently living in a pandemic. We are currently living in a lockdown. This film is supposed to be taking place in the year 2024 as if this is never going to end. This is a prediction of the future from producer Michael Bay and whoever is going to be directing this movie. I don't have the notes in front of me. But it's literally... So, I hope you have seen the trailer by now. But it's COVID-23. The COVID-19 or whatever has mutated into COVID-23. The world's on its like 5 millionth week of lockdown, whatever it is. It's 4 or 5 years in the future. And there's been millions of deaths. And every American that has been infected is put into a camp. And there's only a certain select few of people that are immune that are even allowed to go outside. Everybody who hasn't been infected is stuck inside. It hits too close to home. Now, if we're 10 years in the future and we're talking about, dang, you guys remember when COVID hit? Like, that was crazy, but we're all fine. And then you watch a movie about, like, what if we weren't fine? What if it went, like, south? Then it's easier for me to digest it. Be like, man, that would have been crazy if that happened. But we're still in the middle of this pandemic.
I think the reason why I'm like, there's no way it'll get to that level. And, you know, God forbid.
God forbid.
But we've had COVID. And
right.
We're fine.
We're fine.
Like, I think it's, yeah, of course, it's a dangerous disease.
Right.
But it's not the plague. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think for me, that's where I was like, wow, that's really cool that they took this event and dramatized it so much
right.
that it made it like a really cool movie. I mean, yeah, of course, we don't want that to actually happen, but the likelihood of that actually happening is very slim to none. I mean, there'd have to be some other person eating another bat that has mutated.
Well, I don't want to scare you, but viruses can mutate. But I mean, so in this, I mean, obviously it's a fictional world, but their COVID-23 has a 50% mortality rate. So if you get it, there's 50% chance you can die.
Okay.
So, you know, that's obviously why the world is still in lockdown and, you know, affected Americans are forced to live in, you know, quarantine camps. Fun fact about this movie, I guess, but this is the first movie that was able to be filmed during the pandemic. They filmed this past summer. They were able to film it in downtown LA because of the pandemic and everything was shut down. They had a crew that was separated into three zones with frequent testing, of course. But they filmed this movie in 17 days because they had, I mean, nothing
all
else to do.
In the world, yeah.
But this movie was actually filmed during the pandemic. So it if this was like that movie that came out on Netflix
right.
that was about a pandemic and but it was filmed before any of this had ever even happened. It's just different to me. I don't know.
Do you think that when they were making this movie, they were like, there's no way that this pandemic is going to last as long as it lasted? Because I was one of those people that thought it'll end in 2 or 3 months.
No, like, I think because they did this in July. Like, this wasn't even the beginning. This wasn't back in March or February. This was done in July. So I think that they're like, oh, you know, what if it got worse? Let's make a movie about that.
But I think in July it was starting to get better, right? We went on lockdown.
No, that's
in March.
4th of July weekend is when we had that huge when we got it.
But that's what I'm saying.
Spike.
Everything was starting to. They were already in talk about let's reopen, let's start. You know what I mean? Because we went to 4th of July because it was open.
Right, you're right.
I mean, to Lake Tahoe because it was open. So at that point, we were like, okay, it's starting to dim. Like, yeah, like, obviously, they're still 6 feet apart and all that, like, social distancing. But we were thinking it was going to go away after that. I remember that. Because I remember in July, I was thinking, oh, by fall, we'll be back to normal. Mm. So I wonder if, as they came up with this idea, they were like, there is no way.
There's no way.
We're going to go into something this intense. And then it's like, still here, know, and right? Now they're like, oh, we got to put it out. We already...
We filmed it. We paid the budget. Despite its crazy dystopian future, the director is claiming that this is more of a romantic drama. Because they're saying it's a Romeo and Juliet story where... the Montagues and the Capulets are COVID and lockdown. Like, those are the things that are keeping these two lovers apart. It looks to me like more like a little, like, semi-action thriller because, like, the army seems to be coming for her because looks like her grandma or her mom, someone's getting sick, and he's got to find a way to get her out of there.
It would have been cool if they did it in the times of Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, no, because then they just...
actual times, you know, those actual times... with COVID happening or some kind of like disease happening, that would have been cool.
Like the plague where they would just kill you even if you coughed?
Well, that's kind of what this movie is, right? Like the girl coughs and then she steps back.
And what's cool is what I think someone should take from this is they have like a little app on their phone that can scan you to tell you if you're good or not. So I think...
Isn't that what their thermometers...
Do you have a thermometer?
We have one.
We have one, but who got that?
You got
it. Okay, but before me, did you have one?
Actually, no, I have one. Yes, I do.
Okay, do you have a digital thermometer? Or do you have one that has to sit on your tongue? What I'm saying is everyone has a phone. So if there's an app that you can download...
Scan other people?
To scan yourself, to be like, am I good today? Like, that was the whole point. Like, you're scanning yourself.
Cool, like, let's scan other people from a distance.
The point I'm trying to make is that someone...
like, that guy's like, let's not go near him.
Elon Musk or someone needs to invent an app that where you can just gauge yourself to see if you got COVID or not. So we
and
don't have to
others.
Do this testing.
Yes, if we go out in public, just point at people.
This isn't Shark Tank. We're not trying to pitch this idea. We're talking about a movie. Why do we always get off the rails with you?
But if someone does do this, it was my idea. I need 50%.
It was... kind of Michael Bay or whoever directed this movie was their idea. So
we made it better.
So if you steal that idea at Big Screen Pod, come and find it. I mean, it's funny. It's funny to bounce ideas off of you. Jeez. So obviously, I'm going to watch it.
Of course.
But there's no release date, so we don't even know when it's going to come out. Does it hit a little too close to home? Maybe for some like me. Maybe for some like Betty, no. And we're still going to watch it? Yeah.
100%.
What if it sucks? It's like not even good. It doesn't matter.
I don't know. I don't like... Yeah, when movies suck, it really bums me out. Because I'm like, you know, all the anticipation.
Wasted money.
Like, did you ever watch Mother?
You know what? I didn't watch Mother because I heard it sucked.
Oh my gosh. I went to the movie stoked. Yeah. Like, I was like, favorite actress. Looks amazing.
I'm
looks
pretty
like
sure
a
you've said like
thriller.
Three or four actresses are your favorite actress on this show. Just saying.
I can have more than one.
Let's continue.
Oh, he loves me, I swear. Do you love me?
What day is it? Continue.
So I went to go watch that movie, fully prepared to be mind blown.
Right.
And I walked out of there like, what just happened?
Did you get it though? Because I've watched like things about it because I was like, I'm not going to go spend money because a lot of people are mad about it, but let me see what it's about.
I got the religious aspect of it because I am religious. And so,
because I am religious.
Because I read the Bible. So there were definitely, you could tell, like they were portraying like Jesus, the baby represent. Yeah. So there was a lot of those parts that I was like, I fully understand that they're bringing a religious aspect to it. There were other things in the movie, like where the stranger comes into the home and then like, I think he like disappears or like there's a fight that breaks out. I'm like, what was the point of that? Like that part I don't understand.
I don't remember the exact, this isn't going to be a review of Mother, but, or Mother, because there's an exclamation mark at the end of it. From what I remember hearing about it is that like, yeah, the main guy, he's supposed to be God. And then Mother was either Mary or Mother Earth, could be one or the other. Mm. And then the baby is Jesus. Mm-hmm. But then the world... No, yeah, so she would be Mary because in the world are the people that mm-hmm. just want God. We want God. And once they get the baby, they just rip it apart. Mm-hmm. Just like, you know, in the Bible, killing Christ. Mm-hmm. And was the stranger the devil? I don't know.
I don't know, but there was a stranger that comes in.
I never saw it.
He's like sick. It was so...
Maybe just he was like, diseased.
What is happening?
Maybe he was COVID.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe they knew before we knew.
Maybe. Songbird.
Songbird.
Songbird. Cool, creepy trailer. Anyways. So, because the time has come, I'm very excited for my new segment titled Mikey's Mandalorian Minute.
Ooh.
So season 2 of The Mandalorian premiered on Disney Plus this weekend, and I loved it. It was so good. Didn't have this show when season 1 was around, so I'm going to do a quick recap. If you haven't seen it, go watch it, please, and then come back, because spoiler alert. Mandalorian is a bounty hunter. He's given a bounty. The bounty is Baby Yoda. He gives up Baby Yoda, but then grows a conscience. Saves Baby Yoda. Goes on adventures. Yet here we are, season 2. Before you watch season 2, I made mm-hmm. you watch season 1. What'd you think?
Well, I wasn't a huge fan of Star Wars. You aren't. I know there are diehards out there.
Yes.
There good are. Good for you. I wasn't one of them. I think I tried to watch Star Wars like 3 times and I just couldn't get into it. Yeah. But The Mandalorian
ooh.
Had me from the beginning. Mm-hmm. It has a cute little elf looking thing. And now I want one.
It's a Baby Yoda.
I want the Baby Yoda.
For really fast, for the diehards out there, we know it's not Baby Yoda. We know it's called the Child. But it's Baby Yoda. Shut up.
Because he's not Yoda.
It's not Yoda, but...
But it's a breed.
It's the yeah, Yodas. It's a Yoda species. Mm-hmm. But saying the Child is just so stupid, and it's my show, so shut up. It's Baby Yoda.
Aggressive, honey.
I'm sorry. Continue.
He is a huge fan of Mandalorian. He has a tattoo on his arm. I don't know if he's ever shared that, but...
Not on the podcast, no.
Oh, yeah. He has had that for, what, like 15 years
or yeah, something? Yeah, so I'm not, oh no, I am a huge fan of the show The Mandalorian, but I've also been a Star Wars fan since I was like 9. And my very first tattoo was the original Mandalorian symbol logo. And so, which, you know, looks pretty badass. And then a lot of people don't know what it is. So it just looks like a badass skull on my arm. So, I mean, like I get street cred and I get Star Wars cred. Because like when someone leather. Knows and they're like, dude, your tattoo. And I'm like, dude, your knowledge. And then, you know. Nice little bro hug, and then we go about our way. So, well, not anymore because it's COVID.
I'll never get it. I'll never understand.
You don't need to understand, all right? Just know that I love Star Wars before you, and if you leave me, I'm going to love Star Wars after you. So.
Wow. So I'm going to leave now. This is fun. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, I really liked it. It was very, I don't know, it had me on the hook from the beginning, and then I just kind of watched it all the way through. All
right, yeah. Only 8 episodes in season 1, right? I believe?
Yes.
Yeah, because yeah, this was chapter 9.
Season 1. And then season 2, I don't know how many there are going to be. Do you know?
I can find out for you.
I mean, I'm going to watch them anyway, so it's not that important. But yeah, I really liked it. I like that it's one of those shows that's also like, he's not good and he's not evil.
Right.
Like, he's the gray area, you know?
He's just a guy out there, simple man trying to make his way to the universe.
Yeah, with the baby.
With the baby.
Which is different.
Right.
Because usually it's the women that protect the baby. Mm-hmm. But I love that now it's like this male figure and he feels so responsible for this kid because he feels almost assimilated to him and his story, right? Because he was an orphan. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
Foundling is what they called them on the show. Yes.
I'll call you a foundling.
That's fine. why not? That's fine. I'm going to start telling people that.
Foundling boyfriend.
Your foundling boyfriend.
I have spoken.
Ah, yes. She hasn't stopped saying that. I kind of regret showing her that season now because every single thing that she's done, she hasn't stopped saying that. She's like, babe, we're having chicken tonight. I'm like, but I don't. She's like, I have spoken. I love it. So.
Oh, it's funny.
But if it gets one more little Star Wars fan out there, then I can accept that. So here we go. Season two. We're just going to break down the episode a little bit. So if you haven't watched it, go watch it. If you don't care, stick around and listen.
Mm-hmm. There's action from the beginning to the end.
Right.
There is no downtime in this show, which I love. No. And I understand why they didn't put out the whole season.
No. It's a smart thing for Disney does this. Amazon does this with their TV shows. Netflix is kind of the only one that kind of drops everything at once now, I feel like. But it gives people like me more time to talk about their show. So now I have a segment called Mikey's Mandalorian Minute. And I can talk about this for 8 weeks because there's going to be 8 episodes in this season. Right. Just so you know. But yeah, so we pick up and Mando was quest with finding Baby Yoda's people, mm-hmm. whether that be Jedi or whether that be more Yodas. We've yet to find out. So he's searching the galaxy for more Mandalorians because they can help him find Baby Yoda's home.
So I have a theory.
You have a theory. Hit me with it.
I haven't watched all of the Star Wars.
Right.
And even when I did, I was on
You're
my
in
phone
and out.
Most of
the
time.
Yeah.
But I have a theory that the reason that they looked for this child mm-hmm. or Baby Yoda mm-hmm. is because they're trying to clean house on all of their kind because they possess the Force mm-hmm. and which we saw in season one. Because I this was my theory before I even...
It's true. It was she like said first... this like at the end of episode one. She was like, oh, I know why they want him.
Yeah. So I think that they are paying these high bounties to get rid of all these creatures because they possess the Jedi and they're the only ones that
the
can
Force.
Teach it.
Oh, you're getting there. It's fine. It's fine. You're getting there. You're good. You're good.
Right?
Isn't
that a good theory?
That's a great theory.
I wonder if that's really what's...
I mean, there's a lot of people that have that theory.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm with you guys. Star Wars for life.
He's trying to find more Mandalorians that'll help him find Baby Yoda's peoples.
Well, then why did they kill all the Mandalorians?
Okay, well, that's something that we learned in this new episode. We thought that... all the Mandalorians were kind of hidden underground mm-hmm. on where they were from season one. Now, he tells the Cyclops dude that I need to find more Mandalorians. I need to find more Mandalorian coverts, which means there's little pockets of Mandalorians all across the galaxy. They don't even know where each other are. It's like, mm-hmm. it's like this is our little crew of Mandalorians. We don't know where the other ones are at. We just got to try to find them. So it's cool to know that there's more Mandalorians out there and that wasn't the last of them that had been wiped out. Mm-hmm. But Cyclops dude tells him, hey, you know, there's a Mandalorian on Tatooine. Now, Tatooine, because I'm going to explain to you, because other people might not know, is a planet that's been used all throughout Star Wars. That's where Anakin Skywalker was born.
I remember
that's where they sent Luke Skywalker. They go back to Tatooine all the time. Now, when I first heard Tatooine, I was like, okay, here we go again. But I like what they did with it. What do you think about... you are in education, are you not?
I am.
You are. What do you think about... the learned behavior now that Baby Yoda being around this bounty hunter, this murderer, this killer, but not a bad guy, now recognizes his weapons. Because when he did the little whistling bird, mm-hmm. Baby Yoda knew to go in the egg because it's about to go down. Is that a good father figure?
Oh, man. You just opened a can of knowledge
here. I'm just saying. The child is now recognizing the weapons. It sees, it knows what's going to happen. It knows that death and destruction are coming. Is that really something you want to be raising this kid in?
This is not only based off of cognitive behavioral
That's
therapy.
The word. Cognitive.
But it is also based off of a psychological factor. Mm-hmm. There's something called classic conditioning, which most of us have heard about. It's like, is Baby Yoda just doing these actions because he's been conditioned to? It's happened so many times and so repeatedly. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know what's happening. He just does it, right?
Okay.
So when we train our dogs, you know, we tell them to sit. And mm-hmm. after, if they do it, then you give them a treat, right?
Right.
So it's like a reward-based system. So it's interesting because I feel like Baby Yoda is now looking at... he's imprinting on this Mandalorian, yeah, yeah. Essentially. He's saying, okay, this individual has now cared for me, protected me, doesn't leave me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's this... It's a two-way relationship. The Mandalorian now feels super responsible for Baby Yoda, and Baby Yoda now looks to the Mandalorian for guidance as a parent figure.
But also, we saw that at the end of season one when the Mandalorian and Cara Dune are arm wrestling. Totally normal thing, mm-hmm. but Baby Yoda force chokes her because mm-hmm. like he saw her as a threat to his quote-unquote dad.
Mm-hmm.
So, now you're saying Baby Yoda is so strong in the Force, and that might be all the Yoda species, but could that... I mean, we know that in the Force, there's a light and a dark side. Mm-hmm. Now, this baby being raised around this Mandalorian and seeing all this violence, could that be leaning him more toward the dark side? Little evil Baby Yoda.
But I feel like he only shows violence when he's protecting Baby Yoda. So Baby Yoda only experiences violence.
Right.
Or he only sees violence happening when Mandalorian is protecting him. Right. Baby Yoda... in return, does the same thing for the Mandalorian. He saw some kind of a disagreement, argument, something happening to the Mandalorian, where now he feels he needs to protect the Mandalorian through violence.
Now, I would say that's not the Jedi way, but hey. Well,
it is a psychological
way. we can touch on that in another...
I love it.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to do my own research and I'll be back. For every minute of the Mandalorian recap.
Every Mikey's Mandalorian minute. Anyway, so here we go. So they go to Tatooine because there's someone in Mandalorian armor in Tatooine. We revisit the little junkyard lady. That was cool to see her come back. And he leaves Baby Yoda with her and he rides in. I like this show because it's really got that old school Western vibe, you know. Mm-hmm. It's the lone gunslinger that rides into town and, you know, there's something amiss in the town. So mm-hmm. he's looking for someone that looks like him.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love that you could never appreciate because you're not a Star Wars fan like I am.
Mm-hmm.
I knew what Mandalorian, air quotes Mandalorian, I can get into that later if you really want me to. Was on Tatooine last. The last Mandalorian we saw on Tatooine. You didn't.
No.
But I did.
Mm-hmm.
When the bartender says, oh, the Marshal wears Mandalorian armor. Take a look for yourself. And you turn. It was so great to see someone else. So the Mandalorian that was last, air quotes Mandalorian, that was last on Tatooine is a guy named Boba Fett.
Mm-hmm.
The original guy to wear that armor in Star Wars. Everybody's favorite bounty hunter that really kind of sucks. That's his armor. But to see someone else wearing it, and you can see that it doesn't fit him, and it just doesn't look right, and he looks so awkward in it, but he still kind of looked a little badass, was such a cool fan moment for me. What did you think?
Well, I remember I told you, I was like, that doesn't fit him.
Like, I love that they did that.
Have to be a fan to know something's not right here.
He looks so awkward.
That's definitely not his clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I was wearing your clothing, someone would be like, there's no way you got that.
You don't wear, yeah, you don't wear that shirt.
But it was really cool because I feel like that allowed other viewers or like other people watching that maybe don't know that story because I had no idea who Babo, whatever his name is.
Boba?
Oh. Well, I don't know who he is, but I knew something was off. So I feel like you could just pick up, you know, right at season two and it's not difficult to catch those clues.
Well, no, and then what's cool about it is that there can still be a mystery about it. You don't have to know. But I messed up. I said that he left Baby Yoda, but he actually took Baby Yoda with him because they have the cool little standoff.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, we're going to do this in front of the kid.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, he's seen worse, which we just said, like, yeah, yeah, he's seen worse. These two guys are about to fight. And I didn't want them to fight. I kind of wanted them to team up in the first place because I was like, oh, I want to know this guy's backstory.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I kind of already knew his backstory. Because another fun fact for the Star Wars nerds out there, they took a tiny character, this guy named Cobb Vanth, from a couple pages of a Star Wars book that came out. That this guy who found Mandalorian armor, used it to protect the town. It's basically all they ever said about him. And they put him in the show. So it's really cool to see the creators, Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau, really pay attention to the whole Star Wars universe and not just make stuff up. Like, they're sticking with canon. What other writers have put in, what other people have poured their heart souls into, they're respecting it. Anyways, they're about to have their fight, and then, you know, they see the crate dragon is what it's called. And it's
so ugly.
I thought it looked pretty cool. It's kind of a new design. But again, just the respect that they show with past movies and books and whatnot. But the roar that they use for the Krayt dragon was sampled from the in Star Wars Episode 4. Obi-Wan Kenobi does a Krayt dragon kind of roar to scare away some sand people, and they kind of sampled that sound and used it to make the Krayt dragon's roar. So I thought that was really, really cool. And then it's a, hey, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, and I'll give you the armor if you help me kill this thing. And then they got to use the sand people. And I'm just going to say that TV CGI budget is, or just the CGI that they were able to do blew me away. Like, this is a TV show, but it looks so cinematic. Like, it looked so good. The fight scene, these guys flying around and shooting and blowing up the Krayt dragon and doing the whole thing. They kill the Krayt dragon. Cobb Vanth gives the armor back. And the fun part, again, respect to the past. This is Boba Fett's armor.
Mm-hmm.
When Mando tells Cobb Vanth, take care of the kid, he smacks the jetpack and dude goes flying.
Mm-hmm.
Boba Fett, air quotes, dies because Han Solo turned while he was blind, smacked his jetpack, and then he flew into the side of a sand barge and then fell to his quote-unquote death. So it's funny that it's like this jetpack, can just, if you just knock it once, it'll malfunction and send you flying into the air. So like I'm saying, I just love the way that they respect the past as well as, you know, creating something new. So then the Mandalorian rides off into the sunset, and then there's a shadowy figure staring and watching him. Now, I got a question on Twitter. Who is this person? Where are they from? What's their story? Who do you think this person is?
I thought it was that Boba guy.
Well done. That is that Boba guy.
Oh, okay.
Boba Fett.
Okay.
Learn the name, respect the name.
The actor. They talk about him. Or they, right? It's like, it's his suit.
It's
the whole episode. Yeah, so it's like, why would he not? And nobody knew what happened to him, right?
Well, so in Return of the Jedi, Star Wars Episode 6, Boba Fett, like I said, gets smacked in the jetpack, flies into a sand barge, and falls into a Sarlacc pit.
Mm-hmm.
A Sarlacc pit has a creature that slowly digests people over thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's going to kind of explain why his armor looks all, because it doesn't look that dingy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it looks like the stomach acid of the Sarlacc was probably eating away at it. And then how did he get out? Did the big dragon that they killed, is that the thing that ate what he was in? And then,
well, that's why I thought it had to be him, because his suit, it was still fully intact,
right?
Like, yeah, there wasn't pieces missing.
Yeah, so he got out, so took off, like, the suit.
Yes.
And then did, maybe, I mean, there could,
he
be,
felt this was his way out of the Mandalorian world, because they're not allowed to take off their masks.
Well, that's a new thing for this show.
Oh. See,
and I, well, no, it's actually really cool to have you around to, like, almost not just explain, but to get these new ideas from you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna get deep, and I apologize, but so Boba Fett, he's a clone of a bounty hunter named Jango Fett.
Okay.
Jango Fett wore the same Mandalorian armor.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're getting, like I said, we're getting deep. Now, in the Star Wars Clone Wars TV show,
mm-hmm,
that is canon, the Mandalorians that live on the planet Mandalore, before they all had to go underground and whatnot, one of their high guys said, Jango Fett is just a normal bounty hunter. I don't know how he got Mandalorian armor. He's not a Mandalorian. So currently in canon, Jango and Boba Fett are not real Mandalorians. I'm doing air quotes. So who knows how his armor got off of him? Who knows where? I'm thinking he got out of the Sarlacc pit, was walking through the desert just like Cobb Vanth was,
mm-hmm,
passed out, those same Jawas, thought he was dead, just took the armor off of him or something.
Ooh,
that's, and just kind of left him there for dead. And then he just has been wandering around trying to find his armor, or maybe, I don't know. It's weird. I don't know what he's doing just standing around out there.
Yeah.
But I'm excited. They brought back the actor who played Jango Fett.
Okay.
Because Boba Fett's a clone, so he would look exactly like him.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense story-wise to obviously have the same actor come back and play Boba Fett. I'm excited. The season looks great. I think it's going to be fun. I don't know how much of a character Boba Fett is going to play into it. It might just be in the second episode and Mando could kill him. And that could be the end of it. That could be the end of Boba Fett. Or they could team up. Or something. Or they can part ways. You can give him his armor and they can leave. Who knows what's going to happen? I don't know.
Who knows?
But I'm excited for the rest of the show. You're excited for the rest of the show?
So excited.
Boom. So next week, I don't know what the main topic will be.
Mm-hmm.
But you can bet your ass there will be Mikey's Mandalorian Minute.
And I will be back. I have spoken.
Oh, God. Thank you guys for listening. If you want, you can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram now at Big Screen Pod. And subscribe. And tell a friend. Like. Leave a review. That does That'd something, nice. Apparently. So, thank you guys for listening. Be safe out there. Say bye to the people.
Bye to the people.